All right. Pick the hardest one. Let's do 17. I don't know if it's hard, but we're going to do 17. All right, so the very first step. First thing we look at is all right, so you go through and you label each of them as normal or abnormal. So sodium, is that normal or abnormal? Normal. Chloride, normal. Potassium, low. BUN, normal. Creatinine, high. CO2, normal. Calcium, low. Magnesium, low. Phosphate, low. Glucose, high. All right. All right, so now that we have all that, which one do we look at first? Always start with potassium, because potassium is the one that has the most potential to kill you the quickest. And if you look at the directions, number one, examine potassium value. All right, so patient has, in the interpretation, we're going to write down, patient has hypokalemia. What else do they have? Then we do sodium and chloride. Those are normal. Then we're going to look at BUN and creatinine. Creatinine is high. So you're going to say elevated creatinine, possible decreased renal function. Then we look at calcium. That would be under the pathophysiology. But yeah, any time there's elevated creatinine, you're going to put possible decreased renal function. Then we do the CO2. So normal pH in this case. Then we have calcium, magnesium, and phosphate. So we have hypocalcemia, hypomagnesemia, and hypophosphatemia. And then the glucose, hyperglycemia. All right, so you've got all the interpretations. Now, in the hospital, when you get a lab report, it'll have on there, it'll have the normal values, and it'll have all the abnormals already highlighted as high or low, high or low. So why do we make you memorize normal values? Okay, sometimes you don't have access to a computer. Sometimes what will happen is you'll get a phone call from the lab tech or from a physician. They'll say, I checked so-and-so's labs and they're blah, 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 blah. And you need to know, is that good or is that bad? So that's why we need to know the normal values. Now, normal values are going to change slightly from hospital to hospital, and there's no way to get around that. But these are generally normal values that you're going to see more or less most of the places you go to. All right, so now we've got our patient. In terms of pathophysiology, now, what's this person at risk for? Okay, they probably have some kidney insufficiency. But we've got low potassium, low calcium, low magnesium. With those three things, what is the thing we're most fearing? Heart problems. Any one of those alone can cause heart problems, and you've got all three. So this patient is in big trouble in terms of heart. So in manifestations, what's the number one manifestation that you're going to put down? ECG changes or dysrhythmias. All right, as far as pathophysiology, what could be causing this? Decreased intake, kidney problems, bleeding, heart failure, possibly, but probably not so much. All right, so the manifestations, is this patient going to be weak? Are their muscles going to be relaxed and flaccid, or are they going to be hypertonic?
Rough.
You say relaxed? Who says relaxed? Wrong answer. What are the signs of hypocalcemia? What are the manifestations? Tetany. Now, is tetany muscle spasm or flaccidity? Spasm. What are the signs of hypomagnesemia? Hyperreflexivity, right? So here we're going to have a guy who's got hyperexcitable muscles. So this person's probably going to have muscle cramps. So they're probably going to be in pain. And then treatment. How are we going to treat this poor guy? Okay, we're going to control pain, probably opioid or opiate. And we're going to give him calcium, magnesium, and potassium. Now, with potassium that low, is it going to be, is it probably going to be oral or IV? Probably going to be IV. With calcium that low, is it probably going to be IV or oral? It's probably going to be oral. Magnesium will probably, oral. It'll probably be IV with it that low. Same thing with the magnesium. It'll also probably be IV. Because they're all so low. Right.
Wait, potassium would be oral?
I'm sorry, no. All three would most likely be IV. Yeah. Right. It depends. I mean, giving IV electrolytes is always inherently dangerous because it's relatively easy to make to push someone onto the other side. But because they're this low, they'll probably give them IV. And then once they're more in the normal range, then switch them over to oral.
But because of the creatine...
Creatinine.
Creatinine. You have kidney problems, but that's secondary to the heart problems, right? Don't worry about...
Well, we don't... I mean, you don't know for sure what's going on with that part, so for that, I would just leave that as it is. Plus, we haven't done those sections yet. Okay. All right, let's take a look at the next one down. So, sodium, 152?
High.
Chloride, 112? High. Potassium? 4 is normal. BUN? 20, normal. Creatinine? 1.2 is normal. CO2, 26 normal. Calcium, 8.7 is low. Magnesium, 1.9, normal. Phosphate, 4.2, normal. And glucose, 120, high. All right, so what do we do? Write down for interpretation? Okay, so potassium is normal. So the next thing, sodium and chloride. Hypernatremia, hyperchloremia. Then we go down to the kidneys. BUN and creatinine are normal. CO2, normal. Then we go down to the calcium, magnesium, phosphate, hypocalcemia. And then glucose is 120, so hyperglycemia. All right, pathophysiology. What could be causing that sodium chloride problem? Yeah, I'm stretching. Yeah. I'm stretching very purposefully because I needed to stretch. So, what could be causing that hypernatremia? Okay, too much salt. Okay, maybe the kidneys aren't working, but their BUN and creatinine are normal. So that's probably not it.
Vomiting.
Say again?
Vomiting.
Okay, vomiting, so maybe they lost more water than they did sodium. That could happen, but it'd probably be other problems. Okay, maybe too much peeing, possibly. Too much sweat? Okay, maybe they got dehydrated. Maybe they went into the ocean and started drowning and swallowed too much seawater. Yeah. So So chances are this person is probably just dehydrated from not enough intake, or they've got too much salt intake. Now, it's hard to get too much salt intake, because your body is so good at getting rid of it. So in this case, they probably had too much salt with not enough water, or just not enough water intake. The low calcium, what could be causing that? Okay, not enough intake. Age, possibly. Kidney problems, possibly, but looks like the kidney's normal. Now, the glucose. Right now, we don't want to worry about that. We just want to know that it's hyperglycemic for now. We'll go on to do diabetes next semester. But I will tell you that the glucose is a matter of degree. Lower than 180 is not really going to cause too many. Anything lower than 180 isn't going to cause too many immediate symptoms. So it's not until they get higher than that that you start getting other symptoms. So even though it's high, it's not really high enough to be causing any symptoms. The other thing is whether it's fasting or whether it's whether the person's eaten. If the person's eaten recently, that could be completely normal. Well, those normal values for glucose are really for fasting glucose levels. So that's the other thing that we have to be careful about. All right, so clinical manifestations. What are the clinical manifestations of hypernatremia? Thirst, seizures, coma death. Good ones. What else? Confusion, lethargy. I just feel so tired. Agitation, dysrhythmias. Treatment. Say again? Fluid. And what kinds of fluid might we give? Drink this water. In this case, because that sodium is so high, we would probably give them more than just water by mouth. So if we're going to give them an IV fluid, which IV fluids might we give? D5W or half normal saline. All right. Now, the questions you're going to have on the midterm are going to be very straightforward in terms of, I mean, it's going to ask you, it's going to give you a patient, and they're going to have lab values, and it's going to say, is this high or low or normal? 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 Then it's going to go through and say, you know, what are possible causes? And you're going to look up at their patient history, and, you know, if the patient's been vomiting and they have low chloride, we're going to say, well, they probably lost chloride from vomiting. And then we'll ask you, well, how would we correct this? Yeah, if it's potassium problem, you're going to say potassium, dysrhythmia, potassium, dysrhythmia, potassium, dysrhythmia. And if there's a potassium problem, you should also look at what other, but what might be causing the potassium in the first place? The pH. So you're always going to want to look at pH issues. And if there are pH issues, we might be able to fix the potassium by fixing the pH. So you can fix the potassium, but if you don't fix the problem that caused the potassium in the first place, it's going to come right back. You know, it's kind of like if, say, you have a window that's open and it blows stuff over. So you come back in, you put everything back up, but you don't close the window, and you go away, what's going to happen? It's going to blow everything over again. So in this case, we want to shut the window. The window is the pH. The stuff getting blown over is the potassium. I hope that works for you. All right, any other questions? Now, it doesn't have to be just about electrolytes. You can ask about inflammation, pain, meds.
All right.
I'm not sure exactly. I'll email you the breakdown. There'll be a substantial amount that'll be electrolyte and acid-base balance. Yeah, but it'll all be mixed in. Yeah, and there'll be at least two patient cases that you'll have to do, and they'll both involve electrolytes. At least one of them will involve acid-base. And they'll probably also incorporate pain management as well and inflammation. You know, because we don't deal with these things in isolation in the hospital. You know, we deal with them all together. So we need to begin to be able to start thinking about them in the patient. Now, two things you want to be able to do. One is isolate things and separate. So if a patient has alkalosis, you want to go, okay, let's separate alkalosis. What's causing the alkalosis? What's that doing to them? And the first thing you think about, what's it doing to them? Alkalosis is probably causing hypokalemia, which could put them at risk for dysrhythmias. Now, not everyone who has potassium problems is going to have a dysrhythmia, but you need to think, this person has a potassium problem, they're at risk for dysrhythmia. So what are the two things we would do for that person? If a person's at risk for dysrhythmia, what are we going to do? We're going to monitor them, and then we're going to try and fix the potassium problem. Okay, so I'm pretty sure there's going to be a question on there where the right answer is going to be monitor them and fix the potassium. Now, how do we fix the potassium? What's the emergency treatment to stabilize them? IV calcium what? Gluconate. So IV calcium gluconate is the emergency treatment for the potassium, the high potassium. What's next? What are the two ways we can shift potassium out of the bloodstream? Insulin. We can give insulin. And when we give insulin, what else do we need to give with it? Glucose. And what's the other way we can shift potassium out of the blood? Giving sodium bicarbonate. Now, how do we get rid of excess potassium from the body? Excess potassium. There are three ways that we actually got rid of it from the body. Diuretics, dialysis, and K-exalate. So, in terms of our potassium treatment, we have the immediate. It doesn't do anything to potassium, but it protects the heart. That's the calcium. Then we have, it doesn't get rid of potassium from the body, but it gets it out of the bloodstream. That's bicarbonate insulin. And then we have, let's get rid of the potassium from the body, and we have diuretics, dialysis, and K-exalate. And they work in terms of the amount of time it takes in that order. The quickest is protect the heart with calcium. Intermediate, shift the potassium out of the bloodstream. And then the long term is get rid of excess potassium altogether. And what one thing should you do before you start any of that? All of these problems are trying to deal with excess potassium. So what might we want to do to make sure they're not getting extra potassium? Stop any potassium doses that they're already getting, especially if it's an IV potassium. That's fun. All right. So one of the skills, back, I knew we were going somewhere with this. So one of the skills is let's isolate this issue and take that issue and analyze it further. The other skill you need to do is let's take multiple things and put them together. So this patient's dehydrated, this patient's got low chloride, this patient's got alkalosis, and they're vomiting. And we need to put all of those together that they're all tied together. So on the one hand, we have let's analyze and break down. And on the other hand, let's take a bunch of different things and pull them together. Those are the two skills that you need to have. So let's start with the neurodrugs, because they're the first ones we actually did. All right, so for the muscarinic agonists, what are muscarinic agonists using?